For those in the money business, the last couple of decades have been pretty good. Government policy and central banks have been supportive, and despite one big crisis after another, asset management firms have remained secure. But are the good times finally over? Costs are rising, customers are changing their habits, and economic shocks are biting. So if money makes the world go round, what happens if it stops? I'm Georgie Frost, and this is the So What from BCG.
We expect global wealth to continue to increase. The rich will get richer. Institutions will always be looking for ways in which they can outperform the market. So there will always be a demand for the asset management industry. The point to keep in mind is how the industry will shift over that period.
Today I'm talking to Dean Frankel, who leads BCG's asset and wealth management practice in Europe, Middle East, Africa and South America.
So the asset management industry has had the most incredible run. Over the last 20 years, we've seen industry assets under management go from roughly 30 trillion to almost four times that. I think our latest numbers are over 110 trillion at the end of 2021. So that's been an amazing, amazing growth. In fact, 90% of the industry's revenue can be ascribed to that growth. So a rising tide has literally lifted all boats. And actually, that has supported the growth of an incredible industry that there aren't many that other industries out there that have a near 40% profit margin. You've seen huge innovation in terms of the movements to electronic exchange traded funds, etc., shifts to alternative asset classes. But the fundamentals of the industry are that assets under management support the core of the business. And actually, that has been growing double digits over the last couple of years across every single region. And it's a hugely supportive environment. COVID as well saw huge amounts of money being pumped into the system. As one head of an asset management firm said to me, I wish it was COVID every year. It isn't that often that firms just have large checks being given to their clients, and that needs to be put somewhere. And when you can't go out of your house and spend it, it often gets saved. So really, really supportive environment. I would, however, caution the optimism going forward, because I think asset managers have probably never had it so good. When we just take a step back and look at how the industry has evolved, there's been, as I mentioned before, a near quadrupling of the assets, but that hasn't actually flowed through to profits. So I think profits are up about three times since the last 20 years. But increasingly over the last couple of years, or interestingly over the last couple of years, costs have been rising at a much faster rate than revenue. And a lot of the actual economics of how firms look at it in basis points, which is a percentage of assets under management, is actually because assets have risen rather than anything else. So I always caution kind of my clients and the people I speak with to say, it's great that markets have been supportive, but a bit like going to the doctor and saying, you know, your blood pressure's going up, it may take some kind of cardiac incident for people to realize they need to do something about it. A bit more uncertainty in the economic environment has seen quite a few firms say, actually, look, maybe we need to be a bit more aggressive here on the cost line, because a lot of these things may not be supportive or as supportive going forward.
So while the picture looks very rosy, actually, when you delve a little bit deeper, there are some perhaps more worrying indicators there, cost being one, cost rising. Why have they risen so much?
Firstly, asset management is a people business. So about 70-odd% of overall costs are people related. You just have to look at double-digit inflation in most of the developed markets, see that flowing through to wage growth, and you see that asset managers, wealth managers are no different from any other firm in facing those pressures. You've also seen huge increases on risk, compliance, regulatory requirements. The industry is very, very fragmented, and actually a lot of money is being spent on sales and marketing in order to differentiate versus peers, but a lot of that doesn't necessarily lead to bottom line performance. So only a few firms have actually gone down that route of saying, maybe if I project forward and say, I think the industry is going to undergo massive change in the next few years, and I need to have a cost base half the size, in theory, as an example, what does my technology stack need to look like? Very few firms have gone down that route and done that exercise, because in absolute terms, costs have actually been rising quite rapidly over the last few years.
Well, let's do that, shall we? Let's project forward. What disruptions is the asset and wealth management industry facing? Will it face?
Yeah, firstly, how firms make their money. They typically make their money as a percentage of assets under management. And a lot of those assets are there for a long time. So if you're retiring and you're planning to retire, and you're accumulating your wealth, it may be that you're actually saving for 20, 30 years. And I think unlike a lot of other industries where you need to be selling products every year, you know, if you're a supermarket selling stuff, if you close your doors, you get no money. That isn't the case in the asset and wealth management industries. You need to retain your clients. And unless you do something terrible, be that terrible performance or treat them badly, they often stay. So you see retention ratios in the high 90s, at least on the wealth management side. And it comes down to a business of how do you get new clients in the door. So a lot of this revenue, bizarrely, is actually going to stay. If markets fall 20%, firms' revenue kind of will fall by a commensurate amount. But a lot of players will link some of their variable pay of fund managers, salespeople to markets. So actually, they're somewhat insulated from that. But I think what you will see is that we expect global wealth to continue to increase. The rich will get richer. Institutions will always be looking for ways in which they can outperform the market. So there will always be a demand for the asset management industry. And our projections around future growth will see the industry AUM increasing. I think we say to 150 trillion by 2026. So we're expecting it to increase despite the maybe some uncertainty in the economic environment. I think the other point to keep in mind is how the industry will shift over that period. And actually there's two quite fundamental trends which are shaping the industry. One is the rise of passive product. And so even if you look back to 2005, that was roughly 10% of the overall assets under management in the industry. And that's products that kind of track the market, don't try to beat the market, but as a result come at a much lower price point. We project that will be, well, currently it's about a quarter of the industry, and we think that will continue to increase by a couple of basis points over the next few years. At the other extreme, you've got the more alternative asset classes, which again, historically were a sliver of the industry overall, but actually going forward will be about half of the industry's revenue. And that is slightly distorted because it's a very high margin, kind of costly product, so to speak. But that is requiring a very different set of skill sets. It's really shaping and changing what asset managers do. That's, you know, investing, even owning infrastructure assets, toll roads, etc. And so the industry itself will change. You see a lot of firms saying, how can I move away from the more traditional asset classes and actually pivot my business more towards those higher margin products where I'm able to invest in, you know, in infrastructure and maybe even owning private assets, etc. And we expect that trend to continue. One additional point is that I think why we expect that trend to continue is because actually when you take a step back, those are the types of assets that probably should be invested in by the majority of the public. So in summary, I think if you project forward, about half the industry's revenue is going to be in those higher margin products. But actually, I think it'd be quite an even split between passive product, more traditional core specialties, alternatives, and some kind of structured solutions for the more bespoke industry institutional clients.
Let's zoom out. What are the wider implications for society, for business, of changing asset and wealth management industries going forward?
So on the retail side, I think the biggest change is going to be the continued rise of passive product and what that enables firms to do. So firstly, it is cheaper. And so a lot of assets currently are on legacy product. A lot of our research just shows that, especially on the retail side, people don't necessarily change their product, and a lot of new product innovation, it ends up being unsuccessful. So you've got a lot of money sitting in what is ultimately probably higher margin. They're paying more for things than they may need to. And so I think one thing is you will see over time a continual shift towards more passive tracking and essentially lower price product. The other trend is that there will be, and you've seen certain firms investing quite heavily in this field, a shift towards more personalized indexing. And what that means is that whereas at the moment people buy a fund, in reality, they should be buying something that's personalized for them. So in the same way that you want to buy some paint for your wall, at home, it shouldn't be the case that you have to, you know, you have to choose between four or five different colors that are available to you. In an ideal world, you can design the exact perfect paint for you. And actually, the technology now exists for people to do that, to really understanding the preferences, the needs of that particular client, and being able to adapt and modify a portfolio specifically for them. And most importantly, in a scalable and cost-effective manner.
How would you measure that, though, success?
So that's a really interesting question. And I think historically, you would say success is some kind of risk and reward trade-off. And increasingly, the conversation is moving towards kind of risk, return, and impact. And the impact dimension hasn't even been looked at, if I'm being honest, over the last few years. And a lot of, if you ask some traditional asset managers to provide impact calculations, they would really struggle to do it. But it's really important. If you speak to maybe a high net worth individual in a private bank, and you should be asking questions around what it is they want to do with their investments, like maximizing the return subject to risk is an important dimension. It's what a lot of people may want to do, just make me money. It could also be that they don't want to lose money, but more importantly, it would say, I want to make a certain given return, but I do want to deliver certain outcomes and deliver this impact. And whether that's on a particular UN SDG, gender equality, or whatever it is, there needs to be a way of enabling people to put their money where they want to put it, and to really focus on trying to deliver certain outcomes that is the best use for those funds. And so increasingly what you're seeing is, as part of knowing your client type work, really understanding what it is that people would like to do, and then trying to adjust those portfolios to deliver against specific risk return and impact trade-offs, being clear about what, if there are trade-offs along the way, what they are and how much that would be. And you're seeing the regulation really trending in this direction.
Forgive me, let's take a step back. We've talked about how we think the asset and wealth management industries will change and the implications of that. But after each decline, big decline we've seen recently, the financial crisis, COVID, a recovery has followed, not just a little one, a big one, taking the markets to new highs. Do you not just see, well, you know, continuation of the same pattern happening again?
Possibly. No. I think in reality, firms tend to solve for their profit margin. They're very good at saying, look, and that's how typically the annual cycle tends to be. I had X percent profit margin last year. I'm trying to get to something better this year. And I can never kind of account for the markets, but maybe, look, I'm in control of my cost line. So I will try and adjust for that, and let's see what happens to markets overall. The hope is that markets continue to grow. When you look at the long-term average of stock markets, they have gone up over time. And I think the expectation is that that would always continue. And as mentioned earlier, the industry makes its money as a percentage of assets under management. And so I think there is a requirement almost for industry revenue to grow for markets to increase. But as I said, kind of traditional equity markets end up being a smaller and smaller proportion of how an asset manager makes their money. And so I think what you will see is more kind of diverse revenue streams, maybe a lot of asset managers moving away from purely product into distribution as well, where there are new sources of revenue. But as I said, the starting point is more around how do I increase my profit margin? And then that drives a set of behaviours that ideally are market independent.
You've covered probably quite a lot of these, but I'm just curious what you think if we don't have much of the same continue and the environment does change as we expect. What opportunities that perhaps businesses haven't thought about will exist in this new environment?
One of the topics that is increasingly getting a lot of focus, and rightly, is on the climate and sustainability realm. In reality, there is a huge regulatory requirement to make sure that ESG factors are considered as part of the investment management process. And historically, they haven't all been. So it's not a question of saying, I've considered everything and I just don't want to do it. It's more giving due consideration to all of the various elements and then having that, proving that you've done that and being able to make your decision thereafter. So it's a bit like food hygiene standards in a restaurant. You just need to prove that the person's washed their hands before you, you know, you, they prepare the meal. There's then another part of it, which you may hear Article 8, Article 9 funds, where the specific outcome of what they're trying to do is geared towards a particular outcome that is more climate related. And I just see this as being a huge opportunity, given what the world needs to do to meet the net zero requirements for 2050, etc. There is a whole set of opportunities around specific asset classes to fund money towards particular projects and opportunities. And we're only just scratching the surface of that. So be that natural capital, or, you know, blue hydrogen type ideas, there's just an immense array of money that needs to flow into funding and sourcing some of these new forms of technology and the benefits that come from that. So you're seeing a lot of asset managers trying to pivot into that area. And it's different to what they are doing before. If you compare sourcing and owning a wind farm versus buying a stock on an S&P 500, it's a very different business. It comes with very different risks, which all need to be managed. If you appreciate that and then say, look, I can see the long-term trend and I need to be involved, then I think that creates a huge opportunity for the industry as well, and one that I don't think can be ignored.
You spoke about innovation earlier. Have the asset and wealth management industries really been that innovative over the last two decades, as much as perhaps they could have been? And how important will this be going forward?
Yeah, we actually, as part of our report this year, looked at the innovation within the asset management industry. And I must say, I was actually quite shocked how much innovation there'd been. I think because maybe I live and breathe it every day, but if you look back and say, over the last 20 years, we've had the launch and the scaling of index investing. We've had the rise of kind of fund supermarkets that began to democratize investing in retail. We've had big data within the industry moving beyond the terminal for new sources of alpha. We're starting to see now more automated decision making, particularly in the middle and back office, to reduce costs for investing. And then you could say going forward as well, maybe we've had the fintech data providers, etc. Who knows what will happen in the future? But I think just firstly, there's been huge innovation actually over the last 15, 20 years, and probably more so than a lot of other industries. So I think we tend to forget that, but it is true. When you look forward, I remember someone once said to me, probably a couple of years ago, a very visionary CEO of an asset manager said, I'd love to speak with one of your experts about 5G and 6G. I was racking my brains thinking, like, what's the implication of that on the asset management industry? But when you think actually that could provide next generation real-time access, you kind of start and think, actually, maybe that does provide a bit of an edge in certain trading applications, and you see how the industry can evolve further. When you continue to look further forward and say, what else could there be? I've spoken already about direct indexing and hyper-customized products with cost economics that really are effectively democratizing personalization. I haven't even mentioned the metaverse, but I think the ability to apply quantum computing to some of the data sets that may exist or could exist, I think will just drive a next level of insight. So
explain what that would be and what that would mean.
It's more computer power on steroids is probably how it was best explained to me. But the ability to ultimately transpose some of the, to run supercomputers on analysis that would do things in 2 minutes that would take 2 years. And when you think about some of the data sets that might exist today that can give more on the hedge fund side, but give people a bit of that extra advantage, I suspect that kind of that will continue to drive some form of disruption within the industry. One other point just linked to this is that it comes at a cost. So both the asset and wealth management industries are highly fragmented. And again, because there is a lot of legacy in the client book and there's a lot of inertia, you do find that that you just have this long tail of clients. And the more that some of the technology requirements kind of increase, it does provide more of a catalyst for convergence, consolidation within the industry to take place.
So going forward then, how do firms in this new market, this new environment, offer value, differentiate themselves, thrive, take advantage of all this disruption?
So two things I would say. One is deliver great performance. Like, it is a relationship business, and I'll come to that in a second, but ultimately you are being hired and paid a fee to manage money. And so, bluntly, do a good job. If you deliver outperformance, if you beat the benchmark, whatever that benchmark may be, but if you constantly outperform and deliver great return on investment, I think you've met hurdle number one. So that's I think, par for the course. It's not always the case that that is actually happening. And so whether that, and look, for some index providers, you may say, you're not hiring me to do that. You're hiring me to beat the market. That's fine, but just kind of do what you said you would do. The other one is really getting closer to the client. And I think a lot of firms, particularly on the wealth management side, think they know their clients, but they really don't. So most wealth managers segment their customer based URI based on wealth bands. So they'll say, you're earning this amount of money, therefore this is what I can afford to give you, which is completely the wrong way of looking at it. It needs to be based on needs and behaviors, but ultimately the service or need level of how frequently you will interact with them and the products that you need that drive their cost. Because if you're like me, where you don't really want to speak to someone, you'd rather they just do it and kind of don't tell you about it, they don't need to come around to my house, they don't need to phone me up, and actually it's better for them. And really understanding those needs and behaviors kind of means they can better service their customers. Just as an example, we did work for a private bank on their ultra high net worth segment. So it's people that have invested with them kind of more than $20-30 million. And they had one segment. For them, it was, well, you're either ultra or you're not. And if you're not ultra, we segment you in a different way. And when we ran all the analysis, we ended up finding 9 different segments within that one book, each with very unique characteristics around different product holdings, different service requirements. And within that, there were 3 or 4 where you'd say, you know what, given who we are, we probably shouldn't be serving these people because they're after something which, if we're hand on heart, honest with ourselves, it's not what we want to be providing. It's not who we are. And so the bliss point would be you find a couple of them that really resonate with you and you can scale them and service them appropriately. And actually the clients benefit because they say, you're listening to me, you're hearing me, you're giving me what I want, as opposed to giving me something just because I've delivered or given you a certain amount of money.
Dean, thank you so much. And to you for listening. We'd love to know your thoughts. To get in contact, leave us a message at thesowhat@bcg.com. And if you like this podcast, why not hit subscribe and leave a rating wherever you found us? It helps other people find us too.